Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com.
A balmy minus 442 degrees this morning in Malta, Montana. Actually, it's not that bad. We are live from Arts Furniture and Carpet in Malta. We're going to talk rural health care today. There's a lot of changes, especially in that one big, beautiful bill. And Phillips County, the hospital, there's some expansion projects going on. Joe Tharp is with us. We'll talk about that. Award-winning rural education. Malta Public Schools, the high school, a blue ribbon school. How does that happen? We'll talk with Superintendent Steve Books about that. Highline Ag, Marco Manukian is with us here today, too. And the future of hometown radio. That's the whole thing behind it here, as we are live in Malta, Montana today for Voices of Montana. Yeah, we call it 406, but it's 406 below. And right now, it's actually not that bad. Welcome, you guys. I hope you had a great weekend here. Did you have some luck? Were you out there trying to bag the big one? Or was it, I'll take what I can get at this point in the season? Well, thank you for making us part of your Montana day. Two decades strong and working on three, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Excited about this today because our friend and our affiliate, Rye Tharp from KMMR-FM here in Malta, Montana, he's been running a high school media class. And the media class members are here, many of them. Well, in fact, they wrote down their names. I'm going to give a shout out. It's Carl, it's Reagan, it's Bryce, it's OC. Thank you guys for being here. So that'll be fun. We'll talk with Rye about how that's going, and then hometown radio too, because there's so much connectiveness with our community and our radio stations. That'll be fun. Marco Manukian is here. We'll get an update on ag and how they've how they have managed over this past couple of years with the reconstruction of the St. Mary's. And that's I read where Marco had said he's been in this business like for 29 years, and 21 of them he's been talking about that, and it's finally getting done. Malta Public Schools Superintendent Steve Books is with us here. Appreciate that. We'll chat about rural education here. But let's kick this off with Joe Tharp, who is a crazy co-owner of this hometown radio station, too. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. You're also the CEO of Phillips County Hospital and the health clinic as well. And so I appreciate you coming in. That's got to be enough of a job. And then you go ahead and, are running a radio station as well. What is top of your plate? What's top of your list when people want to hear about rural health care, the opportunities, the things you're doing good, and the challenges you have? What's the first thing that pops out?
I think with our small community here, we're rural. We're even more considered frontier just because of our population size. And so what we focus on is meeting the needs of our community, seeing what our community needs as far as health care, but also what other things can we address for our community as a hospital. One of those big things was trying to take care of our aging population. We had our nursing home close in 2022, which was a big upset for our community. So since then, we've been trying to find ways and working with different entities and stakeholders on what can we do as a hospital, as a community, to get that service back up and running. We probably won't ever be able to have a nursing home again, but with the critical access hospital, we are able to apply for a bed expansion, which would expand our beds to where we could offer an extended long-term care service as part of the hospital. So that's what we're currently working on. We've been working on it for about a year now, and things are finally starting to come together. we're just waiting on some additional information in a waiting period, application submitted to DPHHS. It's called a Certificate of Need application. They kind of go through the review process and make sure that it's viable and sustainable for our community.
That's good to hear that there was at least a solution out there, that you didn't have to go and really think outside the box and create something. As you say, you're working on this expansion. What does that entail? Is it funding? Is it private and public funding that you're looking to get a mix of here?
Yeah, so actually with most hospitals have to look at a renovation or a build that they have to add on to their hospital. Right now, we're lucky enough to be able to sign a lease agreement with the old nursing home, the owners of the new or that building now. So we're going to be leasing space with an option to purchase in 5 to 7 years part of that building. That'll become part of the hospital. So it wasn't any new major construction. It was just renovations of the existing space to meet critical access regulations. So that was really nice. So that was money saving efforts right there. And then the Healthcare Foundation did an amazing job in getting community support to be able to come up with the money to do the capital expenditures for the equipment, the supplies, the lifts, everything that would be needed to go into those rooms to make it a patient room.
What keeps a rural hospital alive like that? And I know a funding source really helps, but some of the challenges that you face, they face all across the state, and that's staffing, and basically it's funding and staffing, I presume.
It is, yep. So our main goal is to remain financially sustainable into way into the future. A lot of that comes with community support. It comes from the community utilizing our services that are close to home and what we can offer.
Are you guys a nonprofit?
We are.
You are. Okay.
We are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a good setup. There's a lot of small communities that function that way mm-hmm. as well. But it's hard then to go out and get that funding. Mm-hmm. Do you get does the federal government obviously there's a Medicaid, Medicare program. How in the One Big Beautiful Bill, I know there's some changes coming. So mm-hmm. as you look, I'm sure you read the whole thing, Joe. as you look over that, what pops out to you as CEO of this place?
Yep. So their main focus with this One Beautiful Bill Act is to basically transform rural health care. And the states had to apply for this grant or this money that's being allocated to this rural transformation. And they're focusing on workforce development for staffing needs. They're working on technology for, you know, electronic health records and equipment. They're focused on, you know, recruiting and retaining providers to these rural areas. So there's big initiatives that our state is focused on as a whole. We'll know by December 31st how much we get allocated to the state of Montana. And then from there, it's going to be planning sessions of kind of who gets what.
And I'm interested in your part of the job because, you know, there's a lot of things that you're looking at that's on paper, the financial side of it. But you don't want that to inhibit the healthcare side of that. How do you, as a CEO, you manage the hospital, but try to make room for the best possible healthcare that your staffers can provide?
Yeah, so we're always looking at kind of quality improvement projects on what can we do better. So a lot of that comes from feedback from the community. You know, a lot of times you hear the bad things, those are easy to do, but the good things are also good to hear. What are we doing good in our mm-hmm. community? And when we do those community health needs assessment, we take surveys through our community. That's a lot of our feedback that we get when we're doing our planning sessions, or even community members reaching out like, hey, have you thought about this? And we take it under consideration of, you know, could we do that? Or is it something we could compromise on for our community? So a lot of it is our community feedback, but planning internally with leadership, with our board, and just seeing what can we do to remain viable in our rural community, because it's a vital infrastructure for our community.
Brag about your staff.
Our staff is great. We've come a long way. We had a lot of changes in the last 5 years, especially after COVID. You know, things were changing every day or every hour there for a while.
And even now, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And now we've noticed that there's been a little bit, there's more longevity now. There's more stability within our staff that we've had. So it's easier to make those changes or look at what we can plan because we've had that stability, at least over the last 3 years or so. So that's been nice. But our team is amazing. They do great patient care. They really know the person that's coming in, which helps since we're a small community and you don't find that anywhere else.
Yeah. So. Well, and tell me how that affects them. Because, well, you know, we had breakfast over at the Great Northern this morning and, you know, everybody who came in knew everybody else and how are the Olsons doing and this and that. And I imagine that happens in that professional setting. So you have to keep a degree of professionalism there, but you also want that relationship comfort.
Yes, yes. And that's, you know, wearing your work hat and being in the moment, treating the patient. But then there's also that added benefit of, you know, it might be somebody's aunt coming in or grandma, you know, and you just treat everybody like you're treating your grandma. You know, you want to give them the best patient care possible.
If you had a wish list or if I was a genie and could grant you one or two of those, what would they be for your staff or your community?
Oh, gosh. a way to keep maintaining financial sustainability in today's world. You know, a lot of the times our community, I don't know if they know that, you know, just because what we bill to insurance companies and that's how we get revenue and reimbursement, that's not what a hospital is actually reimbursed. So, you know, to always try to make up that, that bottom line, that margin. And then just training, you know, making sure that our staff have opportunities to get the training that they need, because we got to be ready for anything and everything that walks through that door at any moment. We're not specialists in any area. We kind of have to be a jack of all trades to get those community members healthy and stable. And
speaking of jack of all trades, you're married to Ry Tharp, and he's wearing the DES coordinator, and he runs a radio station, but talk about how you coordinate those efforts, because Malta, Montana, it's not the middle of nowhere, but it's right next to the middle of nowhere, and so you have to have collaborative efforts with hospitals in Great Falls or Salt Lake City, or so talk about how they perceive your needs as a frontier provider.
Yeah, so it's kind of nice. So we work with a couple of different groups. Phillips County Hospital is part of Montana Health Network, which is kind of a collaboration between hospitals, more of those rural facilities. We're also part of a frontier, I don't want to call it alliance, but it's those smaller hospitals, and kind of brainstorming what are our issues, what are things that we could help each other with. And it is nice because we are next to the middle of nowhere, but you know, we do talk to them. They're great about sending out outreach providers out here to us, so we're able to offer that service here for our community. We work with Northern Montana Hospital with some of their providers that come over and see patients here on an outreach basis. So it's a lot of that sharing of services, and you kind of have to in this area to make things work. So, and it's just keeping those good relations with everybody.
Jewel Tharp is with us here, CEO of the Phillips County Hospital and the clinic as well. I'm really excited about that expansion project. I mean, being able to see a need and then have that fall on you and then have a path forward for that as well. Is there a timeline on that? How can the rest of the public in the state of Montana, you know, get aware of this and maybe get behind?
Yeah, so our original timeline, we had a very ambitious goal and that was it was supposed to be today actually, but through the needs of everything and the paperwork, the renovations that needed to take in place, we're looking probably February or March of this next year.
That's actually a pretty fast turnaround. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
Does that now are you going to have somebody else be able to run that, or is that falling on the CEO, or how do you manage that when you have something like 12 extra beds coming in for this specific purpose for the aging population? How do you make sure that everybody has the bandwidth for that?
Right. Yep. So currently we do have a couple of positions open before it actually opens for the planning stages of getting everything ready. So we have like an extended care nurse manager position open that would work with the director of nursing at the hospital and myself to kind of get things up and moving. And then we'll do a big hiring marketing campaign, I guess, because to make this work, we are going to need the staff, local staff, to help run this facility. So LPNs, RNs, CNAs is going to be a huge thing. So if anybody is interested in becoming a CNA or has a CNA license, please reach out to us at the Phillips County Hospital.
Are you gonna pick off some of your sister's staff there in Missoula?
Maybe if they'll make the drive. No.
Your sister runs the Indian Health Services Center there, right?
Yeah, actually, she just transitioned to the Little Shell IHS in Great Falls as of this summer.
Congrats. Yeah. Joe, there's so much we could talk about, too, and I want to talk rural education and then hometown radio and small business and ag and all that. But thank you for sharing that, you know, and thank you for what you're doing. You wear a lot of hats, and some are heavier than others on certain days, you know. So thank you for keeping your head up and doing what you do.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Yep. Joe Tharp. Later on, I'm going to catch an update with Marco Manukian, a former extension agent here for a number of years, a producer as well. And I just want to see how how area ag is faring in Phillips County in the High Line. Of course, we have talked an awful lot about the St. Mary's Diversion Dam and the trouble it's had, and now the reconstruction process, Milk River, Fresno Dam, all of that. That impacts municipal water, that impacts irrigation water, and it impacts the bottom line of producers here, and then everybody else, including Julie and Greg and Jeff and Giona here from Arts Furniture and Carpet here in Malta, Montana. We're live this morning on From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. So that's coming up a bit later on. We'll talk with the media class as well from Mrs. Symington's media class here. Rai Tharp, the owner of KMMR, has been, I don't know. I'll ask you guys what he's been doing to you here a bit later on. But teaching and just giving that hands-on experience for broadcast, it's really cool. And somebody who's making that happen as well is Superintendent Steve Books from Malta Public Schools, who gets to preside over a National Blue Ribbon School, sir. Congratulations. And I know you're fresh into the community as well, but no stranger to rural education. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good morning. I have to first shout out to my administrative staff, obviously our teachers, for getting us to that place of being a Blue Ribbon School, and it's quite an honor, and we have some great kids, here today, but we have some great kids across the board. We're really fortunate, and that's what I would say about rural communities, is we really hold together, and that's my experience in previous district as well as here.
Well, and that is like the, salt of the earth kind of values, so to speak. What are the challenges? What are the challenges you're facing?
Well, being rural is a blessing and a curse. The community, the community at large is so supportive of our students, of our staff, of our school community.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing. And usually when you start talking about teacher retention and things like that, you'll have people that fill the voids in the community, that come from the community and fill those voids that we need. But the curse is that when those people decide that it's time to do what they want to do for the rest of their life or retire or change careers, that's when it's hard because you can't always fill those voids then at times. So rural education is awesome because it has the value, as you stated earlier, value. That's the benefit of it. But then when people do leave, then there's a struggle.
And that struggle involves things that are sometimes out of your hands, like the funding that comes in for public schools. You know, that's done at the state legislative level. It's done at the national level, but mostly at the state level as well. So you're reaching out in that regard. Discuss for us how you pitch Malta High School to potential new recruits, so to speak.
Well, you have to talk, as I was referring to the small community, the values and that you have to embrace that and you have to sell that. In my previous district as well as here, you have to show those that are looking at us that this is the place to be. And I would say that for students as well, we want to create the story that Malta is where you should be. Malta is where it's happening. Malta is a center point, whatever, to come. And it's something that is good for all of us.
So, if teachers want to make an impact,
absolutely,
they can do it here, right?
Yeah.
How are things when it comes to the technology? Because it's changing an awful lot.
I think daily, right?
Yeah. and the minute you and we'll talk about your strategic plan here. The minute you have a strategic plan for technology, it goes out of date
within a year,
as soon
probably,
as it's signed. So those are some challenges you have to face. But maybe roll into that, the strategic plan and how quality education fits. What that's all about.
What I'm going to say about strategic plan is every district creates a strategic plan. Unfortunately, what eventually happens over time is it gets put in a binder, and I've said this to my administrative staff and the people involved in it, is it gets put in a binder and it gets forgotten about. And that's something that we can't allow. It has to come up It has to be in the forefront of our conversations daily, weekly, monthly. Our board will be reporting on that strategic plan monthly at our board meetings. We just recently had a meeting where we involved community members, teachers, administrators, and really, you know, pushing it. There's lots of things that need to be considered. You know, you talked funding. You know, the states and the federal government don't give you money for facilities. And we have some facility issues in every district that I work with and talk with. They're all experiencing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we get that money to fund what we're doing for our students. But generally, it's very difficult when, you know, electrical goes down or a roof goes down or, you know, plumbing issues. There's not a lot of, you have to get very creative in that, and it's a struggle. And part of our strategic plan is addressing that.
Yeah.
And looking at specifically our elementary school. So,
what are the components of it? Now, it's not just funding, but do you have like educationally? Are you looking at curriculum? Are you looking at outreach projects? What is involved in a strategic plan outside of keeping the doors open?
Our strategic plan, the facilities is one goal, but many of our goals in the strategic plan, and I don't have them in front of me to, mm-hmm. to give you word for word, but are student related. So you have us talking about CTE and pathways. That's huge. What this class right here is a perfect example of what we want to see in a rural community.
Yeah.
Mr. Tharp is working with these students.
They call him Mr. Tharp. Do you guys call him Mr. Tharp? Oh, wow. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But this is a prime example of what a benefit of a rural community has.
Yeah.
We're fortunate enough to have a hospital. We're fortunate enough to have a radio station to give students these real-world experiences. And that, in my career, nearly 30 years now, in my career, that is what is happening in education, is kids are being moving towards real careers.
Yeah.
And that is a huge focus in our strategic plan.
Well, and it's been a large focus and kind of a shifting focus as well. You know, four-year colleges are still encouraged, depending on what you want to do professionally. Yep. But trades have come back around as something that you can lean into educationally. Mm-hmm. How do you lean into something like that?
You have to talk to your kids and see what they want. The two-year programs are huge. I asked the question in one of our strategic plan meetings is, what happens when our community members decide that I need to go and retire? Or what industry workforce, where could they come back and fill the void for the community? That's another benefit of a small community.
Yeah.
Because kids go and they do their 2 year and they get their education and they come back. And they, you know, because they know the benefit of this community.
Because somebody in this town owes them money, I think. No, Steve Books is with us here, superintendent of Malta Public Schools. I asked Joe the same thing. If you had a wish list go ahead and reach for the moon, so to speak, what would that be in education?
I would go back to the funding for facilities. That's huge. Maybe a assembly line of teachers that would just come in.
That'd be nice. Qualified, super overqualified
exactly.
Teachers.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah. But talk. How do you encourage your staff then? I mean, I got about a minute left here, less than that even. What do you do to encourage your staff?
You have to sell what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I am absolutely, and I'll say this every day, I am so proud of my staff. All of them, from your paras to your custodians to your bus drivers, we have rock stars. And I think you motivate people by letting them know that you appreciate them, that their efforts are seen, and without them, you know, what do we have?
Yeah.
So My staff is awesome.
That's cool. I'm happy. And in my mind, you know, they are the unsung heroes. There's a lot of unsung heroes in communities, and a lot of them exist in your place of work.
Yeah.
Steve Books, Superintendent of Public Schools here for Malta. Thank you for what you do as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. I'm going to talk a little bit about this hometown radio station, KMMR, just like your hometown radio station there as well. Real people are running it. There's a media class that Rye Tharp, who's the owner-operator of that station, has been working with this year. And they'll be on here in just a little bit. We'll talk about that experience and education here. I appreciate Steve Books, who is here, superintendent of the school system, Joe Tharp as well, as we talk rural education. And now we move to our friend Marco Manoukian. Marco, former MSU extension agent here. I did appreciate it, Marco. Good morning, by the way. How you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I appreciate
it. Welcome to the tundra.
Yeah. It wasn't tundra but a week ago, was it? But it is now. That's how fast. And what I loved about Marco, he comes in the door and he's already counting inches. You know, you just can't help but be that producer, right?
Right.
Good. Just got 6 inches here, and then you get another one. Water's so vital. And so give us a sense right now. We'll talk about St. Mary's because you've worked on that for the longest time. And now, unfortunately, it took a catastrophe to get it moving, you know, with some momentum. But how's the production up around here?
Well, to be honest with you, we didn't have much moisture in the beginning until about July. And so for things that were like spring crops, or even winter wheat, it was tough. We had a big July, probably 300% of our normal precipitation, and then it's turned off again until we got the snow, basically. So we didn't harvest many crops around the Highline, and that'd probably be from Babb to Sydney.
That's hard to hear.
Yeah,
it's hard to hear that. We didn't harvest many crops. What did you get?
For a farmer person, if they had some winter wheat, they got something, but the rain in July did damage the wheat, the quality of the wheat. Other than that, that's about it. We did get a couple, 1.5 irrigations probably.
Okay.
And so that was better than what we expected, but still, tough to pay the bills when you're short of water 2 years in a row.
And you're a producer. Tell us what you're producing.
So we put up hay, irrigated hay, which is tough to do without water. We grow sheep, cattle, and some horses.
And outside of the rain situation as well, how's the markets for those things? I mean,
certainly the livestock side is way better than the crop side. Mm-hmm. The wheat markets and grain markets, corn, are all sub production level, and that's tough on those guys. Hopefully they have some insurance to keep them in the game for next year.
And did that loss of water impact the livestock industry as well?
I think absolutely. If you didn't have a supplemental hay supply beforehand, it's tough to have one during the drought. It was good that there was a little bit of hay around the Lewistown area and some people could draw out of that. But, if you didn't plan, in advance, it was going to be hard on you.
You're somebody who has worked so hard, for a lot of years in getting people aware of the issues with the diversion, and the conveyance system. And like you said, you know, been doing the job 29 years, 21 of those have been working on this. You must have a certain satisfaction, but also frustration that it came to this to get this done. But talk about your experience there too, and now maybe what happens with this conveyance.
Well, I think the good things is they are fixing the diversion structure. St. Mary's, the siphon system itself, is probably complete. Hall's Coulee is about halfway done. On the flip side, we need about $25 million to finish the drop structures. There's $200 million that needs to go into the canal system. And that is really key because our legal entitlement between our agreement with Canada to split the water is 850 CFS. And we only take 600 CFS because our canal system is so degraded. Mm. And so they get 75,000 acre feet of our water for free because we can't divert it. And when you have a drought like this, it's really tough to – you couldn't mitigate it by having an additional water supply.
So this work that's being done, and I've been impressed with, you know, it took a while to get here, but I think a lot of organizations, federal, state, local, came together to, you know, get this project on the ground and get it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So congratulations on all that. Is it done? I mean, not just the what they're working on. What do you need to do? I don't want anybody to forget about this now.
Yeah, no, I think the things that I just mentioned there, the drop structures and the canal, and there is a cost in not having water, and I figure that's about $100 million that we didn't produce because of the lack of water. And in arid Montana, you need water to produce a crop.
And someone's coming too, you know. Water is just, don't worry about it, right? It's going to come from the sky.
It'll come from the sky. That was a bad plan.
Thank you for stopping in here. I appreciate
that.
It. Give us an update.
Yeah, and keeping us up on people's minds. Appreciate it.
It is.
And just like the superintendent was talking, our federal government is just not in a position to respond to infrastructure. The grade school that he spoke about, our irrigation project. Glasgow's looking for $80 million to fix their water distribution system that was put in the 50s. So it would be good that our congressional delegation reflect on those needs because water's a basic necessity.
Infrastructure, just to wrap that up, has been lacked. Our focus on infrastructure has been seriously lacking over the years, too. And so it's catching up with us in a lot of ways.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's got to change. Hey, thank you, Marco.
Appreciate that.
Really want to thank Julie Snellman here, owner-operator at Arts Furniture and Carpet. It's really a nice place. And we've got a setup. This is not like your ordinary setup. We're not on a table. We're sitting around these beautiful couches. Got a great table in front of us. Everybody here is almost too comfortable, aren't we, Ryan?
Yeah, yeah. It's very comfortable here.
Rytharp is with us, the media class for Shayla Symington, Mrs. Symington. Good morning, Mrs. Symington.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's a great opportunity.
So I just kind of want to start with I'll start with you, okay? The value as you're teaching media to get your students some hands-on experience.
It's huge, huge. When Rye reached out, I think it was last year, about the opportunity of letting them work at Camomar and get their hands on other technology that I didn't have access to is amazing. And that's what we're trying to do is give them as many opportunities as we can, whether it's out in the community or just working with different types of technology. So this has been fantastic.
Right. Yeah, your whole point of this as well is to just connect hometown radio with the schools, with the people. Congratulations on that, too. Thanks for doing
Thanks.
That. But you just kind of started walking it out, didn't you?
Yeah, it was, since I took over the radio station, it's been a learning process anyways. And this wanted to get more involved with the community and the school. And it's been a learning curve. Last year, we just had them for I think a week or a few days there. Yep. And then, of course, with the help of Travis Rhodes, also my announcer in IT, has stepped in to help me teach and done a lot of the teaching when I'm not able to be there with these kids, which he's done a great job. But we realized we needed more time with them to teach him the ropes.
I got to brag about Rye a little bit, too. As we love Montana communities and hometown radio stations, you did this whole thing by just stepping out and walking into it here. Didn't have a lot of experience. Thank you for your military service as well. But as you walk into this, talk about why you bought a radio station here in Malta, Montana.
Well, it was kind of a whim. I was taking a step back from running on the ambulance and saw the radio station for sale and told my wife, why not? She was
she's making a face right now.
Yeah, she didn't think I was serious. She thought I was joking. But that Monday after I had told her, we were in the bank. So
what has that taught you, sir?
A lot. I've learned so much in the last couple of years, and we're actually on our third year now. Just started that. So yeah, it's been a learning curve every step of the way, continuing to learn, especially. And that's what's great to having these kids as we take a step into the future, combining radio with social media and everything. A lot of the kids are actually well-versed in the social media bit, and I'm actually learning a few things from them as well.
Well, and we'll be talking to them a bit later on, too, about all those opportunities. Social media is a big one. Let's see. Who wants to go first? Regan, you're right there. Yeah. Regan Stewart. You know, tell us who you are. Tell us why you're interested in media. What do you think it can do for you?
I just saw an open class, and it looked like it would be a fun one to take. So, and then doing the KMMR stuff's really fun. So,
were you nervous the first time you got on the air?
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. The first time was on this weekend, and me and my friend did a thing about the college football bracket coming out, and we talked about it on like a little segment of the show. So, it wasn't live, so it was a little easier, but this is my first time being live on air, so.
Well, and is it any different?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of crop the stuff and cut some stuff out if you mess up, but.
What do you know now that you didn't know before?
I think probably one of the cooler things was learning how to do business ads and going to the business and seeing their products on what they have for sale and stuff and everything to talk about. Probably doing business ads, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bryce Allen, is that right?
Yes, I'm Bryce Allen.
Hi, Bryce. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing.
Oh, cool. Thank you for coming here today, too. I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you know now that you didn't know before?
I know now to do best of what the time that you have than what you wanted, because I usually do very long ads when my whole thing with ads, but something that I've learned is that you don't need to have it long to be memorable.
Very true. Right. So the time management and then being precise.
Yes.
Right, in what you do. What do you want to do?
I actually want to do behavioral analysis for the FBI, but I think that definitely...
Get out of town, you do.
I know. I don't know. But I definitely think that advertising will be one of the many things that I will be doing in my future.
Nice. I'm going to run out of time, so I'm going to hand it over to Carl Johnson.
All right. Yep.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What have you learned?
Definitely from this year and last year, it's been different experiences. Last year, we had more opportunities to be live, and this year, we're just doing more of advertising at the moment. So when we get more into that, I'm hoping we'll be able to get more on the air.
The real money is in the sales, though, just to let you know. What do you want to do? Is there something?
I'm definitely looking at a few things. I'm looking at either coding or something with archaeology or interior design. Definitely diverse things I'm looking at.
Cool.
But being able to do technology has been my favorite since about seventh grade, so coding would be a way to go.
What do you take away from this class that will help you in that?
I think definitely learning different technology and different websites to use when you're looking for different things, different softwares to use.
Hand the mic over to OC. OC St. Louis, is that right?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Right on. Good to see you here. Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, talk about your experience. You know what, on a day-to-day basis through this class, how have you grown with it?
I've just been enjoying making stuff with on the mic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what do you like to do? Like funny stuff?
Yeah, usually funny stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I make music, just basically like that. Just
so you do a little music on the side, then,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew a little bit about some of the software coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that something you want to pursue? You know, and you guys don't have to decide what you're doing. You know, things will change in that regard. But what do you think these skills will? How will they help you going forward, OC?
Maybe if I project my voice more when I'm making my music.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else? Is it the business side of things that you're kind of turning on to? Do you write songs?
Yeah.
How has writing and learning how to be precise in communication, has that helped you write songs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In what way?
It's just
Yeah, it just helps, right?
Yeah.
Well, and this is what you guys will experience, too. The things that you're learning now, it may not all come together, but as you grow in your professions, the light will turn on. Well, I learned that in Mrs. Symington's class. We've only got like about 40 seconds. Wrap this up. Talk about their experiences from your eyes.
I think it's been an awesome experience. I've grown a lot, too. I've learned a lot from Rye, and the kids are so well versed with technology. I'm thinking of Carl. I think this is year three, right, Carl? We do the yearbook as well. And so Carl's kind of the jack of all trades. I can say, hey, this needs to be done. And she tackles it for me across the board. OC, we talked with music, and he is really developing there. Regan, I can lean on for sports, who needs to be featured.
Wearing and Bryce, the M jacket.
Yeah. Yes, yep. And Bryce is a Canva wizard. And so all these kids bring something different to class, and it's fantastic.
Rythart, Mrs. Symington, thank you guys. And thank you, Julie, as well.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.